Hey, humanoids. On today's episode of The Masked Man Show, we're going to talk John Cena versus The Undertaker, Daniel Bryan's continued triumphant return, and Ronda Rousey's continued less than triumphant screen presence, and much, much more. WrestleMania is right around the corner. As always, we're part of the Ringer Podcast Network, where you can listen to my other podcast, The Press Box, on Channel 33. That's the Channel 33 podcast feed. Check it out there. This week, my other tag team partner and I, Brian Curtis, discussed the Cambridge Analytica scandal and Mark Zuckerberg's apology tour, and the news that Sports Illustrated's parent company wants to sell the venerable magazine. And be sure to check out theringer.com. There's a few great WrestleMania-related articles by myself and Kenny Herzog that I think you humanoids will dig. Now, let's get on with the show.
Hey, Peckerheads, it's me, Peter Rosenberg, the most mage caster of them all.
Hey, this is Bruce Prichard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
This is Skyler Rastin.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hey, this is WWE superstar Braun Strowman.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I have Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to that.
You know what you're listening
you're
to.
Listening to
you are listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to the Masked Man
the
Show.
Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
Masked Man Show.
Welcome to the Masked Man Show. I'm David Shoemaker. Across from me is Dave Schilling.
That's right.
And to my left, Dave Schilling's right, is the Mad Dog, Mike Lawrence. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
You have less of a beard than the last time I saw you.
Yeah. I got a job again. That's what'll happen.
Oh, man.
This is me, yeah.
Congratulations, I guess.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
So, big wrestling week. WrestleMania's right around the corner.
It's next weekend.
We're not even on the road weekend to WrestleMania. We're like pulling off the highway.
We're at the truck stop.
Yeah, into a Shell station.
At the somewhere. Arby's next to WrestleMania.
I'm just trying to get a roast beef. Come on.
Yeah.
This was a big week, man. It felt like everything's finally falling into place.
Yeah.
The card is almost done.
It's funny that you say that, and like right before we started, we were like, I think this is happening next week. No, maybe it's this. Like, there's still not a full plan.
Oh, no. I mean, there's still a lot of stuff up in the air. Yeah. I think that we talked about this a little bit in the past, but, you know, the conversation, this is one of the many meta conversations that you see happening online is what's going to main event. And that happens every year. And especially over the past several years, it's been mostly a Roman Reigns conundrum, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't, if he's going to go over, you don't, they're leery about ending the show with that because of the potential crowd reaction. This year, it's especially weird because, you know, I said that, you know, there are a lot of matches that could main event. If you're not going to put Roman going over Brock as the main event, you know, I made a somewhat arch case that they could have done Asuka Charlotte in the main event, but they sort of dropped the ball by not having a long enough build on that. But even more so is the Cena Undertaker thing. Now, that could still main event for all we know, but that one's just hanging out there. You know, I mean, Kenny Herzog's writing a little bit about this on The Ringer this week, but, you know, it's just sort of these two wrestling truisms that are going head to head. One, If a big time guy calls out another big time guy, the challenge is always accepted. The other side is but the flip side is like, we can't wait. We don't have enough security as fans. We want that immediate gratification. We want Undertaker on our TV now.
I find this is one of the worst feuds in a long time. I mean, it's not even really a feud, but just the story. Like, when do something is your chant. Like, I feel like the writers came up with that when Vince was like, just do something. And they're like, oh, yes. Like, because it doesn't really fit. Like, there's inklings of a story here where Cena's an entitled fan.
Yes.
But he's been hated by entitled fans for years.
Well, there's also the aspect of The Undertaker clearly wanting to retire and having, you know, a desire to move on from wrestling. And this guy, this annoying dude in his, you know, goofy hat is trying to get him to wrestle because he's desperate. And The Undertaker, you know, this is all stuff that's not being said because he's not there. But that's the implication, is that he wants to retire. He's not feeling up to par because of his loss to Roman Reigns.
This would have been a great opportunity to really work the fans if they had had, you know, I mean, they can't do this, but if they had had Cena calling him out in a less explicit way, or maybe Cena's only calling him out on social media or something like that, and Cena really doesn't have a match booked, but he's just calling him out, and then you use your NBC Universal, you know, connections to actually, like, announce that The Undertaker's doing a fishing show and it debuts the same weekend. Or, you know, to really write him out of WrestleMania. That would be amazing. The problem is we know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, you know, he came back at Raw 25 in a very Eddie Murphy SNL 40 performance of I don't know what this is, but I'm glad you're alive. And that didn't, I guess we could look back at that and try to find clues if that means anything towards this, but I don't think it does. But that also hurts the story because it's not a year since he's been back. It's only a couple months. And then it's just with Cena, it's, if anything, this story just really makes the Andre Battle Royale look like nothing, because it's like, you could be in WrestleMania. There's a Battle Royale.
If he had said, I'm going to be in the Battle Royal, then fine, I don't care. And then The Undertaker shows up the week after or something like that. And we wouldn't have had this problem with you not understanding what the story is if Undertaker had just retired at Raw 25. If he just said, I'm out, and then you just assume he's out, then when he comes back, it's a bigger deal.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, like Shoemaker was saying, like, The Undertaker's storyline specifically for the last few years has been somebody calling him out. There hasn't really been much build, and then it's like, I feel like Roman is kind of where you top out at that, especially how the match went with him putting the hat and the gloves in the ring, and then just physically, like, I don't think I want to see him again.
I don't either.
It did not look good.
No.
Like, well, I feel like, Cena Taker is for some people a dream match, and it's certainly going to be a high-profile match, but I feel like there's a lot less pressure for some reason in this match than there was last year or in the Brock matches.
Well, I think it's because he's not in a position where he has to, work a match that matters, or he has to put somebody over, or the streak is hanging over his head. It's just a match now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year, he had the job of making Roman Reigns look like $1 million.
I mean, I think the last great match was Punk at 13.
You mean 29?
Well, yeah, in 2013. Sorry. Oh. Yeah. But, you know, XX.
Depends on how you number these things these days.
But I feel like that was, like, the last truly great match, and that was a great, you know, he was a great heel calling him out. You had the Bearer stuff, which kind of fell into his hands. But then, like, the Lesnar thing, like, I have no problem that he lost the streak. The fact that he lost it in such a pathetic, embarrassing match that he was very injured, and then the Bray thing was a disaster, and was it Shane? I mean, it's just not been, it's just kind of sad. Like, and it makes you feel like maybe he doesn't have other things in his life besides wrestling.
Most of them don't, and not to say that they're, like, quote unquote losers or something, but it really means everything to these people.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's weird because that, you know, that story was, like, around Michaels or even before that, where the streak really meant a lot and you were at least guaranteed, like, a good match from him. That was, like, the best phase of Taker ever, probably. But this, where he comes back once a year and there isn't much of a story, and then nothing ever happens the night after, it's just not, I don't know, it's not fun to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to belabor the point or anything, but Cena's promo on Monday was, you know, fine, but it's just so repetitive at this point, and the crowd was really dead for it. The crowd was dead a lot on Monday. I don't know if this is one of those, let's blame the, you know, the city, the stadium, the fan situations, but, I mean, you could have heard anybody drop a beer in the first 20 rows during the Ronda Rousey segment, during the John Cena promo. I mean, it was, you know.
There's not a lot of intrigue left. We are,
you
know, a week and a half away from WrestleMania. And at that point, everything is basically set. If you are even mildly smart in terms of wrestling fandom, you know everything that's going to happen before it happens. So what can they really do to keep your interest on just a regular episode of Monday Night Raw. There's not a lot.
It's interesting that they are, I mean, and you know, it's, I don't think it's a positive thing. I mean, I do think it's a positive thing, but it's interesting that they're letting Asuka and by proxy Charlotte be a presence on Raw. I think that's the only, I mean, there have been some other crossovers, you know, Ronda Rousey promos are airing on SmackDown, that sort of thing. And on Tuesday night, and we'll get more into SmackDown in just a sec, but, you know, on Tuesday night, they were talking about the entire WrestleMania card, going through the matches, and let Corey Graves do the Raw side. And you know, it did feel sort of like there was a cool feeling about them just acknowledging the other half of the company. But when you're talking about what are they going to do on Raw, I mean, I don't know that there's an easy answer for keeping people occupied, you know, keeping people's attention, but they managed to do it on SmackDown. I mean, Daniel Bryan could come out and explain how he, you know, made a peanut butter sandwich that day, and I would be jumping out of my chair. He's so on fire right now. And part of that's real life intervening, and part of that's like, this dude is firing on all cylinders. He is a top flight professional wrestler, and, you know, his promos have been really good.
It helps that he's been away for 2 years, and it's fresh. It's hard to find a lot of newness to Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar 2, or even Miz and Rollins and Balor and all this stuff, because we've seen these combinations a million times.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think the thing, too, like, I watched that promo, and it was fantastic, and I think it is just that he is a real person.
Yep.
He's not a character. Like, it is a real story. You feel his pain. The fact that he was just like, he just wanted to be like, I had to be on Total Bellas for the last 2 years, you know? Like, but it's like to see him now and like genuine swell of emotion, you can't replace that. Yep. And it's
a stark, you know, in contrast to Cena's sort of feigned actorly, Hollywood actorly emotion.
Yeah, and it is like that. He always has to be an underdog, because like even last week, like when I was watching the Owen Zayn beatdown, there was that part of me like, should we be watching him get beat up this much this soon?
Yeah.
And then the promo last night was the payoff.
Yeah.
Like you kind of like, he's the guy who has to get beat up 95% of the time. That's his character.
Well, that's what's great about, you know, any top-level babyface in WWE history or in wrestling history, period, is they have to get their ass kicked every once in a while. And that's what makes you want to then see that person get their revenge. And this is – it's a tried-and-true wrestling story that they're playing out. And like you said, Mike, it does help that he really feels it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't – when you get that kind of like generic, I'm going to beat you up thing, which is what Roman Reigns does very often with his promos, it just doesn't click and doesn't – make people care as much as they could.
It also helps that the company hasn't filled his void. Like, I think work rate wise, they totally have with AJ, but AJ is just never going to be there with the promos, and him in those backstage segments is just painful to watch.
It's fine for me. It's just that he'll never be that underdog character, because his whole gimmick is that he's the best.
Yep.
He knows he's the best. And Daniel Bryan believes in himself, but in a very a humble way of like, I work hard and I believe in myself, but I'm, you know, not cocky.
I mean, it would have been interesting if they to see what WWE, what they could have done if WWE had, you know, in the intervening period, gone all in with like Sami Zayn as the Daniel Bryan underdog character.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting because, I mean, I think he's a great example and obviously has, you know, the skills and everything to pull a lot of it off. But what made Daniel Bryan work is not a thing that you can teach, right? I mean, it's the connection with the fans, and I don't know that it's possible. I frankly think it's impossible. Full stop. Impossible to create an underdog storyline in the modern era, because they try to do that with Roman Reigns. You know, they try to do that with a lot of people, but Daniel Bryan only worked because he was actually a real life underdog who, you know. Widely held perception was that nobody at the, you know, in the front office wanted him to be at the top of the card.
People who watch a lot of wrestling know when the finger is on the button and they're making things happen and they're pulling strings. And so it's hard to divorce yourself from what you know or what you think you know and really lose yourself in the story that they're trying to tell, because it's such a transparent story that's being told the same way over and over again. Yeah. Daniel Bryan thing, people connected to, like you said, because it had an element of our perceived reality of what's going on backstage.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan also, he was always in that bad position where when the company finally got behind him, real life was finally against him.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, oh, so you are the champion. Well, now your dad's dead and you're injured a month after you win the title.
Yeah.
Like, that guy literally is never able to catch a break. And so that's what's interesting now. I just really hope that he's smart about it, that the company is smart about it. Like,
yeah.
Because I remember when he came back in, you know, at WrestleMania, the one in 2015 was 32. Yeah. Right?
No, 31 is when he won the ladder match.
Exactly. Yeah, 31. Sorry. I remember stuff by years. That's, our autism works differently.
hey.
But the one in 31, it was like when you saw him and he'd finally come back and you're super excited and then he does the diving headbutts. It's like
not just the diving headbutts. He
off a ladder. Yeah.
He and Dolph did like the headbutting contest at the top of the ladder. Didn't they do that in that match? I mean, it was hard to watch.
Those will not be happening anymore. I guarantee you.
Because also, like, especially in this tag match, it's so perfect that you have this, you know, Shane can get beat up for 15 minutes because that's all he's good at. And then just the hot tag, do the big spots outside of the headbutt, and that's it. Like, I want him to wrestle smart more than see him wrestle hard.
Yeah.
That's really important because it's like, that is the thing, too. We are going to be invested in his matches on a, you know, mental level and emotional level more than anyone else where, you know, Michaels had that. Mm-hmm. When he came back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this the last? You always thought it was the last one. And then he ended up having a fantastic 8-year run.
Yeah. I mean, yes. No one knows what the conversations backstage have been like between Bryan and the, you know, the office and what the plans are. I mean, there have been a lot of rumors about it, what his workload is going to be going forward. But they're going to be in the position very soon of walking a very delicate, you know, a very fine line between, you know, having every other pay-per-view be a Daniel Bryan dream match scenario, which is too far in one direction.
Yeah.
Despite my love for Daniel Bryan and, you know, having a replay of the post WrestleMania 30, you know, feud with Kane. Like, no one wants to see that, you know? No, I mean, it's hard to imagine anyone getting into an actual Daniel Bryan storyline. That's not the storyline of his continued, you know, return.
Yeah, I mean, the natural thing, the thing that a lot of people on Twitter have been screaming at me about is The Miz.
Yeah.
You could carry that all the way through SummerSlam if you start that. You bring The Miz to SmackDown. So I don't think Daniel Bryan should go to Raw. I think he can really be an anchor on SmackDown.
They definitely need stars.
That's natural, and they're two diametrically opposed characters.
Can I ask a really stupid question?
Of course.
Why did Daniel Bryan and AJ have SmackDown blue gear that is opposite their normal? I mean, AJ, that's fine, whatever, he can do a different. But Daniel Bryan, like, has this, like, clearly SmackDown blue outfit. And that's also what AJ is doing. I'm just saying AJ is not wedded to a certain color. But, like, the people on Raw don't seem to be stuck in red. They do wear some red, but, like, Finn's wearing blue. That's not a shout-out to SmackDown.
Well, I think the talent on SmackDown tend to be more effusive with their brand.
Because they're the underdogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the people that go to every Cleveland Browns game.
Exactly.
The Daniel Bryan gear, with the exception of that, like, that one, what was, like, the one, like, propaganda poster shirt?
There
was
the one that looks like an Obey poster.
Like, that one was great.
Yeah.
And that thing has aged terribly. Yeah. That was everywhere for, like, 2 years.
But he's had such bad gear his whole career, including the stuff that a lot of the stuff that he wears.
The Yes T-shirt, I would never wear that in public.
Yeah. Just because you're...
Says a guy. You know, we got a guy wearing an Earthquake T-shirt.
They really missed their chance. What they should have done is had him keep the sweater and just started selling cardigans, like Daniel Bryan cardigans.
I like that he started wearing maroon as an homage to his neurosurgeon. Like, that's really sweet.
Is that what that was?
That is my favorite thing about WWE, that the guy who does all the brain surgery is named Dr. Maroon.
That's like being named Dr. Dumbass. Right?
What a maroon.
Let's take a pause from... Actually, you know what? Before we take a pause, we were talking about Daniel Bryan. Let's talk about Shane McMahon. How crazy is it that we live in an era where Shane McMahon gets beat down on camera by two villains? Exactly.
What a maroon.
Takes a week off to recover, but in reality goes on vacation with his family,
yeah,
and then gets actually sick / injured, whatever, while on vacation.
Yeah.
And WWE... puts out a shoot press release about it, explaining that he had diverticulitis and assorted other things.
Disease that...
And then it's worked back into the storyline on Tuesday where they have to acknowledge it, but then add in this hernia thing, which, by the way, of all of the things that WWE has swiped from real sports over the, you know, in the ultra-modern era... The one thing that they were blind to is that real athletes always deny having hernias. For some reason, this is just a personal pet peeve of mine, but it's considered like a emasculating injury. So that's why like sports hernias exist. Like there's all these different ways of talking about like muscle fissures in the abdomen. It's like these guys all have fucking hernias. Like that's what
Weird Al was the first honest person,
yeah,
with living with a hernia.
But after that he was power slammed. I mean, he was power bombed onto like some metal pipes, and he got a hernia.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're going with.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, it gets more heat for the match. They gave him a hernia. Those bastards.
How much does it bother Brock Lesnar that diverticulitis isn't just called Lesnar syndrome?
Yeah, and also that Shane McMahon is like, I got it, but you know what? In 2 weeks, I'm going to be at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I like that he has a disease that contains the only move he can do. Sloppy punch reticulitis.
Oh, should we
be starting a rumor?
His punches are the worst.
Should we be starting a rumor right now that the diverticulitis is a work and it's all just an up yours to Brock Lesnar since he's leaving the company?
It could be a little bit of a... It feels like it could be a rib. That'd be a strong rib.
Oh, man.
Can I just say, like, every time I see Shane, like, because Shane always seems to me like the sensible McMahon.
Yeah, that's why he's such a great babyface.
He's like the McMahon you would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's that part of me that's like happy he's back as a character, but also when he left and he started like doing stuff in China and like it just kind of made me proud.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, you're coming back.
It's sort of like if Batman retired and he's like, I'm going to go invest my money in some weird video service in China.
Shane was in a cafe in Paris.
Yeah, with
his wife and kids all wearing merch.
And then, of course, you know, Stephanie shows up and is like, we need you back. Come back. Put the costume on. Put the football jersey on.
Yeah. Shane's a legend, and I'm excited to see what happens at WrestleMania.
I'm way more pro Shane than you are.
Even McMahon, I loved that package piece on Monday.
Yeah. Okay. We got to talk about that. I wanted to derail the conversation, but you brought it up. The video package of the Triple H Stephanie workout that became a work was maybe the greatest video package in WWE history.
I love that Triple H's character for the last few years has been, I have sex with my wife.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's literally like...
Well, when your father-in-law is in charge of the company, you better be pleasing his daughter.
Yeah, they're just... Their character is the people that own the Little League team.
Yeah.
Like, that's my name on the shirts, and don't you forget it. It's like
the Levesque sandwich shop or whatever. It's just like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, the Levesque check cashing store.
It was a really, really good because it's so strange that it seems like WWE only gets this about like once a year where they suddenly this like whatever like peyote they're smoking, this wave of self-awareness comes over the production team and they're like, what if we do one of these terrible videos that we always do? But make this the story. Like, use that to turn the screws. And it was so great. Just Steph and Triple H, like, looking like they were giving their PR corporate company representative interview.
And then it was just Triple H saying that, like, Kurt Angle is, like can't beat him and has never beat him in their whole career.
And Stephanie working out.
Yeah.
It's just
well,
so
it was so good. I don't know if you guys follow Stephanie McMahon on Instagram. I do. And every night she posts an Instagram video of her working out in that gym with her dog, who's named Andre, by the way. Interesting little tidbit
ooh,
there.
Ooh.
Nice.
So that's just like naturally part of
it. It was originally named
is.
Moolah, but then they had to change it. And
it's just like, I don't know if I need to see you working out, but
it's
I know
that
you're
they
proud
acknowledge
of
that they're working out at the performance center instead yeah. of, I mean, why would it seems to be more heelish to be, say, like, we're working out at our private gym in Stamford or something? But also, like, is there any recognition of the fact that Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle are probably working out at the Performance Center as
no.
well?
No.
Do they have
no.
like a chalk line drawn down the middle of the gym or yeah. something?
There's just a big black tarp that yeah. separates them.
You go to the gym and work out 3 hours a day. We'll bury Absolution on live TV.
So, yeah. So well, let's go from one great segment, Triple H and Steph's package, to a not-so-great segment, which is Ronda Rousey.
But the last thing I wanted to say about the Triple H Stephanie thing is that I have to say over the last few years around March they do the hard sell better than anyone else. Like, they make you want to see them lose. The Daniel Bryan story being the best mm-hmm. at 30
there
also
you go.
14
2014 yeah. that was the year
yes and but then the problem is though they never actually get a comeuppance.
But they,
and then they just go back to being that
well,
the next year.
Well, they do, though. They lose. Like, Triple
they
H
lose,
has
but then nothing changes within their characters
so for, this
at
was
all.
The, something to wrestle this week touched on a similar thing when they bought, the year after they bought WCW, right before the draft, when Vince and Flair had the WrestleMania match for control of Raw. And then, like, the next night, Flair lost, but then, like, got SmackDown the next
That was the Royal Rumble.
Oh, the Royal Rumble. Yeah. But yeah, it's just that sort of stuff always happens. You know, there's like comeuppance, and then there's like, holy shit, we have a show to put on tomorrow.
Yeah.
At the end and of this thing has been, I mean, listen, I think that there should be, you know, obviously a lot can be gained by taking the authority, whatever you want to call them now, off TV and bring them back or whatever. And I don't think, I mean, I think having Steph and Shane having, you know, being the figureheads of two of the separate shows is a great gimmick. I don't know that having them on TV continuously all these, you know, since the brand split has been a net positive. I'm sure actually it has been a net positive, but I think that you could have done a lot more with their absence. All of that said, it's hard to fault them for wanting to put Triple H and Stephanie McMahon on television, even if they lose, you know, the day after they lose a WrestleMania.
They're still very valuable characters, and, you know, they were gone for a long time. After WrestleMania 32, they were gone for a while. Stephanie sort of took a backseat to Kurt Angle for a few months, I think around the summertime. It's just that, to Mike's point, when they come back, they're still the same people. Vince McMahon, as the evil authority figure, mutated and evolved throughout the years.
And no one gets to mention their failures, really. No one gets to say, Daniel Bryan beat you, Seth Rollins beat you, Roman Reigns beat you.
Well, I think in the build-up to WrestleMania, you got to act like they're like, you know,
I understand why.
But I agree. I think that would be a good, I mean, I think that your point is the right one because they're, I mean, it doesn't matter. Their win-loss record doesn't matter. And, you know, 75% of people who care about this match know why if
yeah.
they're in charge because they're powerful because they're in charge.
Well, let's hold our judgment on this because I think one of the things that's always been missing is Stephanie getting, you know, a physical receipt for what she does because we don't do man on woman violence and she's typically working angles with men.
Yeah.
Finally, she's working with a woman who she seems to have no problem putting over. This might end up working out for Ronda Rousey. The question is, can Ronda Rousey perform to the level that's necessary to really get over after she gets the win?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
it's a really good question. Before
great.
We talk about Rousey, is the more meta question, I mean, the thing that, you know, we don't talk about Triple H's win-loss record. We also don't talk about whether or not Triple H needs a win. Everybody else with his record, we'd be saying, like, these guys need a win. They don't. Stipulate that I'm, you know, speaking hypothetically and mostly ironically. But man, how great would it be if the match just opened and they like threw salt in Ronda and Kurt's eyes and did a double pedigree and the match was over. And then the news came out that night that Ronda Rousey had only signed a one match deal
or something. That'd be hilarious.
All right. Yeah, I want to talk about Ronda on Raw, but before we do that, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about Spartan. Founded in 2010 by CEO Joe DeCina in Vermont, Spartan is the world's largest obstacle race and endurance brand. They know that sometimes you need to step out of your comfort zone to stay motivated and get fit, and with 200 events around the world, Spartan provides you with an opportunity to push your body and mind as you hit the race course to battle badass obstacles like the barbed wire crawl, the spear throw, the monkey bars, and wall climbs of all shapes and sizes. And that's just to name a few. Emphasizing transformation through sport, Spartan offers signature race events for athletes of all skill levels, from beginner to elite. Challenge yourself or race with friends. And if you're looking for encouragement, turn to the community of 5 million who have crossed the finish line at Spartan events across the globe. Visit spartan.com/masked for an exclusive offer. Find a race near you and view training and nutrition tips. That's spartan.com/masked. And let's also talk about credible.com real quick. Student loans can completely wipe you out if you don't get a handle on them. How do you do that? Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace for student loan refinancing. It takes less than 2 minutes to find out if you're overpaying on your student loans. Plus, you could save thousands of dollars by refinancing. All you have to do is visit credible.com/maskedman, answer a few quick questions, and right away, you'll get real rates, not ranges of rates, from multiple lenders. Credible.com is completely free to use, and checking your rates will not affect your credit score, so you really have nothing to lose. The average user who refinances through Credible.com saves almost $19,000 over the life of their loan. Think about what you could do with $19,000. And for a limited time, our listeners will get a $200 welcome bonus when refinancing through Credible.com/maskedman. Pay off your student loans faster or lower your monthly payment. Whatever works for you. Just go to credible.com/maskedman. And now back to the show. So yeah, Monday night, Rousey's arc was trending upward as far as, you know, reaction, performance, execution, everything else. Monday night was not great.
She can't talk. It's really bad. It's not getting better. I think it's getting worse even because I think they're giving her more. And Angle's not great either, which I don't think we're bringing up enough.
Sure.
I remember we were at a party. I was talking to Schilling about it when he said WrestleMania 21 instead of 31, and that was his Vietnam flashback.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like he's just not all there.
Yeah.
And neither is she. And that is the thing. Like, I think the reason I praise that video package so much is I think that the heels are completely carrying this feud because I don't think they have compelling protagonists. Like, I still don't know who Ronda's character is. And another thing, the constant bringing up of the greatest talker in wrestling history makes her even look
worse.
Roddy
Piper, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, if he's not one, he's top five. I mean, he's a guy who stood next to Hulk Hogan and convinced you he could beat him up. Like, that's how good he was. I think Piper's one of the best, but, like, her wearing the Rowdy shirts, it reminds me of, I don't know if you saw this, but Mason Pryor, who's Richard Pryor's son, did the Apollo a couple weeks ago, and he purposely, like, did the afro the right way and wore, like, the kind of outfit. Like, mm-hmm. He tried to look as much like his dad as he could. And it made the difference that much more painful to watch. And he bombed terribly. And that's kind of Rousey, where it's like evoking Piper, I think, just hurts her so much more.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
It's easy to market. And it's easy to sell those T-shirts because it's like you already understand the iconography.
Yeah.
And it's T-shirts that have been sold for years.
Exactly. Yeah. I think kind of the WrestleMania match is sort of neither here nor there. They'll know their spots. It'll be you know, it'll be fine.
It's this year's, you know, Snooki. Cena and Nikki versus Miz and Maurice. Yeah, and you need that on a WrestleMania, I think.
For this one in particular. I mean, one of these matches that we're really excited about is going to get cut really short, either because of just time constraints or because they need something different. I don't know this with 100%
certainty. This is the Gaga match.
Yeah. This is a Gaga match, but like, let's not be too surprised if one of these matches that we are going to talk about at great length ends up being, you know, a 7-minute schmoz with like somebody interfering from outside or something like that. You know, WrestleMania is always a little bit of a letdown in terms of payoff because this isn't the end of the season. It never ends, you know?
Yeah, no, this is the first WrestleMania where the pre-show is stacked.
Yeah,
like five matches on the. There has to be some of those. Have to be.
It's going to be a crazy, crazy show.
My concern about the Rousey thing is not about WrestleMania, as I was saying. It's about what comes after that.
Yep.
Because for all of the training that she's done and going to continue to do to be a wrestler, I mean, what she really needs is promo school. And I don't even know who's running promo school down in Florida now, but the
Carino maybe.
Yeah, I mean that could be, but I mean honestly, you know they have some very competent female trainers down there. Obviously, Sarah Del Rey, you know, above all others. But like, I don't know even who you would go. Who is the female Dusty Rhodes that you would go to for advice? You know, to like learn how to become a bigger version of yourself.
I mean, I don't even.
I don't think it's a gender specific thing.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, like,
but I just don't think they've ever allowed it to happen
as much as, you know, anything else. Like even right now, the women's wrestling is the best it's ever been. There isn't one promo workhorse in the entire company. There just isn't, and that sucks.
But everybody else is fine. I guess you can keep on training. My concern is you can keep on training to be a better wrestler. You know what that looks like, right? But like if they're just putting her out on TV and sort of saying like, all right, you did okay with this promo. It was your first time, you know, whatever. But like what they really need to do is build that from the ground up, like you're building her in-ring ability, right? I mean, she needed work before she got on TV.
This is a trick of hiring someone who's already a gigantic star to then come into a sport, an art form that they don't have any experience in. Is you have to walk on eggshells to make sure you don't piss them off.
I think the biggest problem, too, is that I don't think the current format of how they do promos helps most of their wrestlers.
I totally agree with
you. You know, I was listening to a podcast called The Wrestler Review, and they were talking about how it's basically like you're watching them do 15-minute one-act plays every week. And I don't disagree with that completely because it's like you look at her and you look at like who we think of as a lot of the best promo people from the 80s and 90s, right? And it's like Piper and Dusty and Flair and Savage and Jake. And, you know, their most memorable promos, Hard Times is, what, 3 minutes? You know, Jake's WrestleMania 6, Wallowing in the Muck of Avarice, is a minute and a half.
Yep.
And then you're giving her 10? And, you know, there was like a Mean Gene. Like, I don't get why you're not having her and Renee Young for just a minute and a half.
This is a conversation I was just having yesterday. The best promos of all time, which are a part of every wrestler, you know, every wrestler has seen Hard Times, has seen Cream of the Crop, has seen
Kane Dewey.
Yeah, exactly. Because these things are just like one YouTube click away. But, you know, I mean, Dusty Gate came out and gave a promo every single week, right?
Yeah.
A studio promo. And we were only watching four of them. You know, Macho Man Randy Savage did how many like, hey, I'm coming to Hartford promos. Like,
he did
30 a month.
I went down a rabbit hole of just watching those like in front of the green screen with Sensational Sherry. And
by the way, is the answer to the question I asked earlier.
Sherry was an incredible promo and so terrifying.
And should have gotten the moolah spot. I think that seemed like a
Sensational Sherry Memorial.
To me.
Yeah.
She wasn't much of a wrestler in WWE. That's the only.
Was a fixture as a character.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. I think I don't really have an opinion one way or the other, but I think that's a logical argument.
Former WWF Women's Champion, guys.
Yeah.
How soon you forget
the Lilani Kai
Birth of Fame Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah.
They should have just named it after somebody from like the Divas era just to piss everybody off.
The Diva Search Battle Royale. Oh, yeah.
The Kelly Battle Royale.
She's not dead, guys.
Was she the one who was like, my butt is hungry, and then sat on a pie?
I don't.
Was that Natalia? We all know the answer to this question. It should have been the Joni Lauer Memorial Women's Battle Royal. But they won't do it. They'll never do it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm afraid my kids will Google her. And it's like,
Google Fabulous Moolah and find out what happens.
Yeah.
I would much rather someone who did porn be the person who's named for
You know how this woman did this to herself? Well, imagine if someone just did that to everyone they ever met.
Yeah, other people. Yeah, and then kept the money that they earned for it.
I think Rhonda, like, the biggest problem to me, too, is I hate this whole I want to be treated like everybody else because they've done everything but that. You know, she's always like in these big, and I understand why she's a big star, and I think she can get new fans and new network subscribers in a way that nobody else can.
Absolutely.
In a way, you know, like more people saw Wonder Woman than Justice League.
Yep.
And I think that was a lot of unique female fans who are like, I want to see this. And that's what they're going for. I just think that this is not the way to do it. Just keeping it short and sweet. Or, I mean, I've heard people say Heyman. Somebody, I would give her, like, you know, an Alundra Blaze or some old, you know, female wrestler to be her charge or somebody.
I don't think she needs a manager. I think she just, like you said, needs to be brief.
Yeah.
Be silent. And when you speak, it means more. Whenever Brock Lesnar talks now, it means everything.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say a lot, but what he says is cruel most of the time.
I think the Heyman thing is, you know, a little bit too obvious. And he's probably more useful if you're going to branch him out. He could be more useful in other ways. But just to let them, Heyman and Brock, put her over. I mean, why not have them pass each other in the aisle coming to and from the ring and have Brock just like look like he's a little bit intimidated by her.
Yeah, that would be huge.
I mean, that's just like 1 second, but like that could have done a lot too. And I think you're right. They should have kept it a lot more brief. But the problem is, this isn't even an issue of like Raw is 3 hours long and they have to fill time. I mean, they need what this, which could, this could potentially be their biggest match, and they have to keep it on screen to hype it.
And how much of it is that SportsCenter culture of that moment, right? Like, if she was just doing a backstage promo with, like, a Renee Young, that's not making SportsCenter the same way her throwing Triple H through a table is. And like, they want those big
moments. Well, I don't know what how we're going to look back on this in a week or a month or a year, but her appearances on the Golic and Wingo. What was the other one?
God.
She did two different appearances yesterday that made much more of an impact than any amount of suplexing she had done.
Time travel is not possible, is what Ronda Rousey explained to Mike Golic.
Yeah.
Did you see this video, Mike?
I did.
Let's go back and start with when you knew from the MMA, when you were done there, when you knew in your mind, I'm not going to fight anymore.
I never said that.
Ah, so there is a possibility that you could go back in time?
There's a possibility that I could go back in time? That's your question to me?
Go back in time and fight. Go back in the octagon.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
It was more uncomfortable than her Samoan drop. it was, not great. It's very weird, like, that is the thing. I still don't know who she is as a person, let alone as a wrestling character.
Yeah.
And it's like she got kicked in the face and then cried on Ellen, then got punched in the face. It was in an Entourage movie. Like, that's all I really know. I know how energized she made women who wanted to see her.
Yeah.
I know that is palpable to me in the way that Daniel Bryan with the fans is. But other than that, like, she as a person seems very odd to me. And, like, even all of her wrestling appearances so far, wearing the oversized jacket, not being able to point at the sign, saying, I want to be treated like everyone else, but having a contract signing on a pay-per-view, I don't get her.
Wasn't there actually, I'm sorry to derail this, a time travel tag team in WCW back in the day?
Yeah, right? There was a post on Reddit about
this. Was it Techno Team 2000?
No.
Yeah, that's maybe what I was thinking of.
But there was, no, they were a WWF team. There was a WCW team that was from the future.
The Time Splitters, for the record, are not time travelers, right?
Yep, it's a new breed.
Was it?
The New Breed. Yeah. The New Breed. They were from the future.
And what characters, what wrestlers?
Oh, God.
Because there was the ECW versus the New Breed,
the
right?
The ECW New Breed. Burke.
That's not what it is?
No, this is... Yes. Oh, Chris Champion. Champion, of course.
Those are the most enhancement talent names.
I used to watch Chris Champion on Memphis TV. Yeah. He was like, I thought he was amazing, man.
If your name is Chris Champion, you probably won't be one.
They were from the year 2002, and their theme song was You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party by the Beastie Boys. They won the...
Which, you know, to WCW... This is WCW, right? WCW... Oh, no, this is WWF's credit.
But they were in 2000.
They picked a song that turned out to be timeless.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but the people were still listening to
They'll be listening to this in 2002 for sure. Yeah.
But since they were from 2002, they came back wearing Tibetan Freedom concert t-shirts.
not quite. They had like weird like aluminum foil outfits.
This was not WWF. This was Florida Championship Wrestling before the WWF days, and then they went to Crockett.
Yeah, it was trash.
I don't know. I think we should just talk about the New Breed from now on.
That's constantly referred to the flux capacitor, the fictional time conduit from Back to the Future. They also made many references to robot toys, referring to Lasertron as one of the GoBots, and using Transformers references like Cybertron and showing their loyalty to the Decepticons.
But that one promo where they were like, Hogan, don't trust Bubba.
For God's sake, didn't make sense
back then. Just keep your mouth shut.
That'd be great if they'd been right about everything. Are we sure that they were actually booked as time travelers, or were they just talking about the Transformers, and the old men at the announce table were like, they must be from the future?
They referred to Dusty Rhodes as Mr. President.
This is the greatest angle I've ever heard of.
It's pretty good.
Like, this angle was just like Jim Herd trying to relate to like, you know,
this was
his
pretty
son.
Hard. This is pretty hard.
Okay. All right. Then Barnett my boy, the Transformers?
My boy.
Who's your favorite? Is it Bumblebee?
Oh, my gosh. What were we even talking about? Oh, Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey.
Time travel. She give her credit. In an era where sports or professional athletes are flat earth truthers. Think that giant humans walked dinosaurs. She is at least putting standing her ground about
science,
the
first
time travel. Yeah,
not possible.
Can we also stop like shaming athletes for having dumb opinions? Like, if you make like $30 million a year because you were born with the right body, you don't have to know what the earth is like.
Yeah.
Like, why are we expecting them to know that stuff too? Like, I want crazy athletes.
I think crazy athletes are great, but people believe the things that they say. Or they just Google the things that they say and only find the related videos on YouTube or Instagram, and then they just get stupid. All right, I'm going to circle. I'm going to do like a little U-turn here. Let's talk about some news of the week, and then we'll pull back around to WrestleMania.
Okay.
Dean Ambrose, tell me what you think, has been pulled from WrestleMania Access. The fantasy booking, squealing fan reading of this is maybe that's because they're saving him for a WrestleMania angle or a Raw the next night.
Braun's partner.
He could be a partner for Braun. He could be a foe for Seth Rollins. It could be something as simple as the dude shaved his head and I think grew a beard in the time since we've seen him. And even if we're not, even if he's not healthy for 4 more months, we're going to save that look for when he comes back.
He looks just like David Shoemaker now. It's weird.
I've got a copyright on this. I don't know.
I would love that, like him, like recovering for an injury allows him to look like the crazy character that he's supposed to be on TV. Because I've never bought that gimmick. Those shirts are way too clean.
Well, he's not going to start dressing like the Brooklyn Brawler, for God's sakes. I mean, come on. He's trying to get over with the ladies.
Yeah.
One of the most popular WWE superstars with women. I don't know why.
And
people
married.
Find him attractive.
So what do you think? Do you think what would your expectation be for Dean Ambrose?
My guess is that they just don't want to overwork him and that he's still coming back from injury. I would love to see him on WrestleMania. I've actually come back around to liking Dean Ambrose. Not that I ever hated him.
In his absence?
I was a little sick of it. I was sick of the gimmick for a while.
Yeah.
But
he's got to do something different.
I'm like, oh, I kind of miss Dean Ambrose. So I hope he does come back. That doesn't seem likely to me, just, you know, from a guess. But we'll see. I'm definitely going to miss him at the Hall of Fame. Because every year he shows up just a little buzzed. wears the sunglasses inside and is like, okay, my man is, he's on Mars right now, baby. I love it.
So every time that he's not on screen as a wrestling character, he's who he should be as a wrestling character.
He seems like the best guy. Yeah, it's like, come on, just be that
do that
guy.
On TV.
Just be that guy, yeah.
He should totally have sunglasses indoors.
He should totally have a flask in his back pocket and like Popeye with the spinach. Just take a swig before his big finisher.
He should have like, you know, like the dog with Spuds McKenzie like taxidermied on his wall.
Yeah, what if he was just like a spring break party guy, like just like a Florida man kind of character? I would be into that.
Yeah, smell my fingers. Each of them is a different experience.
El Generico,
yes, tweeted. Ooh.
Some may or may not know.
See.
Some may or may not know. Everyone, I think everyone knows whether or not we kayfabe it. May or may not be Sami Zayn.
What? Excuse me?
His Twitter came to life this week.
There's no way that those are the same people because El Generico is from Mexico. Come on. I'm not a fool.
The El Generico character is one of the most powerful tools that WWE has in their back pocket. Now, you can't just whip it out and expect it to be the most amazing success story ever. But this is when I mentioned him earlier with the Daniel Bryan storyline. I think
El Generico is what Vince calls Callisto and Sin Cara. What are these El Genericos still doing on my TV?
But
we're
just
glad it's not called El Generico Live.
If they ever get to a point where they can, you know, where Shane or whoever the heel authority figure is, put him over on Raw and have him run afoul of the authority. Stephanie kicks him off TV and El Generico pops up the next week. Yeah. That's the biggest thing in wrestling.
I'm into it. I'm super duper
into
it.
I like that you're saying that in a company that already gave us Juan Cena.
Oh boy. I would love to see El Generico on WWE, but I believe he's still busy with those orphans.
Yeah.
That takes up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I got here. Oh, friend of the pod, former Ringer staffer, and a guy who appeared on the pod several times. You might know him as at Dance Remix. Sam Donsky emailed me just yesterday and said, "I can't believe this is real." And it was a link to a Squared Circle Reddit story about how one of the longest works of fiction on the internet in the world is a Stephanie McMahon, Chris Jericho, work of fan fiction.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Reddit.
Posits that they are a married couple based on the storyline where they were together in a storyline.
So WrestleMania 18, she was his valet because she was trying to get revenge on Triple H. But they never had a romantic entanglement in that story. Jericho ran over Triple H's dog, too, if you guys remember.
I know. No, I also remember that it followed Rock Hogan.
I think there was a match in between.
It was a
women's title match.
I remember tons of people just left the building.
Like, I've seen enough. Goodbye.
Oh, my childhood's back.
This piece is 4 million words.
Yeah, I'm not reading that shit.
Well, you say that, but
is really good.
We've already signed you up to do a full-length interpretive reading for this. We're doing a marathon dramatic performance of this. We should just get a stage at UCB or something.
Y'all don't pay me enough for that shit.
I say you have Ben Stein do the audiobook and just and then he made her feel the balls of Jericho.
What happens at the end? Did Donsky read to the end?
No one has read to the end. That's the thing.
You can't scan down?
Well, you have to click through all these different pages. Oh, wait, let me see. Oh, no, I can tell you what happens.
Read me the last paragraph.
What if it ends with a sensible finish to the Booker T feud?
Oh, no.
And then Triple H loses like he's supposed to. End of story.
All right, what's this last paragraph here? Give it to me.
The last sentence is,
spoiler alert, by the way.
So, okay, here we go.
Someone was about to finish and we ruined it for them.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
here
their
go.
Glasses fall and they step on them.
Here we go.
Time enough at last.
Last line. So we beat on boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the. No, I'm sorry. That was the Great
Gatsby. That's the Great Gatsby.
The last line, as it stands, and for all we know, more could come. This is. Shane and
I have to back up a whole lot to figure out who's having this conversation.
There you go. I want more of this, not less.
I hope there's like full songs by the Chris Warren band in
Break it down.
Okay, I found out he died, and there was a part of me that was sad, but most of me was just not surprised.
Oh, poor guy. I'm sure he didn't get any royalties. I'm just going to jump in from
this is a little, I'm going to have to read a little bit of this so we can all get the context.
Is this thing one?
I'm going to start, this is Shane McMahon speaking. Stephanie, you look good, Shane said. His compliment is false as his tan right now.
Whoa.
His compliment is false as his diverticulitis. Yeah.
Shut up, Shane, she said as she looked around the lobby. She was supposed to go check on how the set was coming along, and she was waiting for the kids to come back from lunch with Chris's parents. Chris was off working out to make sure he was in tip-top shape for the show, and the kids wanted to see what the set would look like anyways. I can't even say you look good. I assume that was Stephanie. Oh, no. That must have been Shane. I don't know.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking, Stephanie sneered. You're saying that while thinking that, oh, she should enjoy looking good because come Monday she'll be out, but I won't, Shane. Even if you win, which you won't, I'll still be there. I will always be there because, you see, I don't abandon the thing I love. Stephanie, sometimes I swear we're just like children again, he told her almost affectionately. Look, when I'm running Raw, there will still be a place for you. Stop, Stephanie. Stephanie held her hand up. I can't even take you anymore. Stephanie, hello, Marissa said as she came up behind Shane, the
Shane's
boys in
wife?
Tow. Yeah. Stephanie tried very hard not to roll her eyes at her sister-in-law, but she was finding it very difficult. Steph, come on. No use, Rissa, Shane said. She's mad at us. I didn't do anything, Marissa protested, then turned to Stephanie. I didn't do anything. Exactly. You could have warned me, but no. Stephanie, he's my husband, Marissa said, trying to get Stephanie to see reason. We're almost there, guys. Mommy, we're here, Kensington said, rushing up to Stephanie. Let's go see the big set. Stephanie picked up Kensington, even though she was starting to get too big to do so. Okay, we're going. That's it, Shane asked. That's all you're going to say? I don't have anything else to say. Nothing at all. She knew he wanted her to say something, to throw an even bigger fit, to flail her arms and act like the child he thought that she was. Yes, she knew that's exactly what he wanted, and she wouldn't give it to him, and she wouldn't give him the satisfaction. Nope.
That pissed me off.
Written by H. Finkel.
That really would make a lot of sense. Some of the office was just fanficking. Oh,
everyone, I wrote a story.
Yeah, writer of One in the Finkel, Two in the Stinkle.
That's a story for another time, folks.
That was still better than their Mania match.
Yeah, I guess.
The other bit of news this week, I think you mentioned this before we came on the air, that the Road Doggy Dog
is going to be inducting Jeff Jarrett into the WWE Hall of Fame. Who else could it be?
There's nobody else.
There's nobody else.
I mean, there's many other people.
Bruce Pritchard's impression of his father.
Steve Austin.
Jerry the King Lawler could do it.
Yeah. Jerry could do it, yeah. Jerry Jarrett would be great. I wish Jerry Jarrett would do it.
If they really want to change things up, turn the Hall of Fame ceremony into a roast.
Yes.
Get Mike Lawrence up there.
Absolutely.
And have Bruce Pritchard sitting in a chair just doing impressions of everybody the whole time.
Man. I would love if Pritchard showed up and sang With My Baby Tonight.
I am surprised that they're not just inducting the whole family in, because it's like...
Jerry has heat.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear what the story is about?
You don't know.
I highly recommend you look it up. Bruce and all the McMahons and everybody have heat with Jerry.
Wow. Because even, like, the idea, like, would be an interesting documentary or movie, but Christine Jarrett seems so fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that there was this matriarch of wrestling in, like, the 50s. And what time was her? Around, like, the 50s, 60s?
Sure.
Because Jerry takes it from her, and then, that's fascinating.
It's like a reverse Mitzi Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jeff is definitely Polly.
Exactly. That's what I was going
Jeff
for.
Jeff Jarrett is a legend and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay. One more news item that I saw.
He's the reason I stopped watching wrestling in 1995.
Just because you couldn't handle his good looks and clear ring skill.
Just get off my TV.
You were jealous.
I didn't watch again for I missed the entire Attitude Era.
You missed JEFFJARRETT.
That's when I left.
That's Double J. Jeff
I hated him so much. He was so bad. I was like, bring back Mabel.
Yeah, I prefer Mabel to Jeff Jarrett.
That's the crazy take.
Which is quickly no dead fat guys in the Hall of Fame this year. Every year I feel like that's
Hillbilly
a thing.
Jim's still alive.
Bam Bam Bigelow was rumored. Mm-hmm. Didn't make the
I guy. Mean, I'm not wearing Earthquake. An Earthquake shirt for nothing, but Tenta should be in there.
I think Earthquake still has heat from when he did the big Earthquake on Hulk Hogan on the Brother Love show. He put their champ out for 6 months or whatever. Yeah. That was
an angle. I think Bam Bam.
He was trying to squash racism.
Seems like Bam Bam next year is the move because next year WrestleMania is in New Jersey.
Yeah, he also like saved kids from a burning building.
The biggest problem with WrestleMania in New Jersey is that they never acknowledge it's in New Jersey. They just pretend they're putting on WrestleMania like in a ring in Times Square for the.
Yeah,
entire...
but that's literally what everyone in New Jersey says when people ask you where you're from. They're like, New York. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That's not true. People are very proud of being from that. Place.
Yeah. Welcome to WrestleMania. Why do you charge us so much for licensing fees, Madison Square Garden?
Yes. One more news thing. WWE app apparently announced that the tag match between the Usos, The New Day, and the Bludgeon Brothers was going to be a TLC match, and then took that news down immediately.
So TLC, not a regular ladder match. It's full on TLC.
According to Reddit, which is always right, it was a TLC.
Never
match.
Wrong. I think that would be awesome. I hope that's what happens. There have been plenty of rumors that they're going to add a stipulation in this match. But if you're going to have the Usos and the New Day wrestle each other again, even if it's a triple threat, you got to give me a little bit more spice there. I got to get a stipulation. I need a gimmick.
And the Bludgeon Brothers aren't gimmick enough for you?
The Bludgeon Brothers in this position are very Dudley Boys adjacent from that classic Edge and Christian Hardy Boys Dudley Boys feud that led to the first TLC.
The Bludgeon Brothers look like they'd be villains in the live action Mario Brothers. Like,
oh God, yeah.
They look like they'd be standing next to Dennis Hopper. Like the hammer guys in Mario. Like that's the live action counterparts. Like their character, I guess, is that they beat up stuff. Like they're fun. I mean, to me, they seem like you could make them a somewhat modern Dudleys, and that's why, like, taking turns knocking them out in a TLC, I think you're going to get a much better match. I mean, because without it, that's a pre-show match. Without the ladders, I don't see that as a main card match.
Yeah, me neither. I think you definitely need a team like that that's going to be able to do those Dudleys-esque things. I'm excited for it. If that's the direction they go, I think it could potentially steal the show. That said, there's like 8 matches on this card that could potentially steal the show. So we'll see.
Are we officially talking Mania now?
Let's do it.
Because that's a fascinating thing to me. I feel like Nia and Alexa is the most story-driven feud out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where it wasn't like, I won this, so now I fight you, which is like half the feuds now. And sign-pointing, like, it's organic. It's been built up. Like, I actually want to see Alexa get hers.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what happens when they actually tell stories.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Vince has a fetish of making large people cry. It works.
Well, me too, Vince. Yeah. Me too.
But I want to see Nia now, and I'm afraid that that's going to be a pre-show match, and I hope it isn't because it's a good story. And Nia has to win that one, I feel.
It should be a 5-minute squash match.
Yeah.
I think that's going to end up being a very brief match. But it may end up going like third from last because it's going to be
the buffer.
Sort of a buffer match.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy pick for that. I don't, let's run through the card just because, you know, we got a unique voice in the wrestling world here, Mike Lawrence.
Yes, so a different bearded white guy than the one who hosts this.
Daniel Bryan, we talked about Bryan and Shane versus Owens and Sami Zayn. That's official now.
Yep.
I guess we touched on all this before. It's interesting that they made it official. I guess you have to, as close as WrestleMania is.
Yeah. Speaking of bearded white guys,
With Shane's medical situation still a little bit in limbo.
And Dolph Ziggler, who would have been the easiest person to plug into that match in Shane's stead, announced himself for the Battle Royal, right?
Well, he's a heel, so I don't see that but making whatever. Any
no,
sense.
No, he was babyfacing during that, like, during the multi-man match.
Yeah, but he's still a heel.
Yeah, this is the one match where all the wrestlers also look like fans in the arena.
Yeah. Well, Shane McMahon is in pretty great shape for his age. Come on. And that tan and those
Yeah, the owner
sneakers.
Of Papa John's is final form.
Yeah, that as an official match, I'm excited for it. For sure.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I mean, that's a main card match. I am like, there has to be so many pre-show matches.
Do we?
I think that, you know, they had AJ Shane open last year. I feel like this has to be somewhere in the middle. You can't have this too close to the Ronda match because it's similar in tone.
Mm-hmm.
Of this is your other Gaga match. I think this goes like second or third. And it feels like the faces have to win this one.
I wouldn't
too.
Be surprised if this is like the semi-main event. If you really? You could end, you could just do and also, I mean, you could if you ended with Roman Brock, then this, then Cena Undertaker or something. I mean, that would be a lot of back-to-back drama. But I mean, this
could go last. Honestly, if they wanted it to close the show, it would be perfectly satisfying for everyone.
But listen, we haven't talked about the stipulation. The stipulation is that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are. Fired right now. They will wrestle at WrestleMania. If they win, they get their jobs back. If they lose, they are still fired. Is there anything else to the stipulation than that?
No, that's it. And a lot of people...
I mean, if they lose, they will remain fired.
I just think that like, their characters are great, their work is great, but they are such goobers that there's no real suspense here. It's like when you had Miz and R-Truth versus Cena and The Rock. It's like, yeah, they exist to die. They are the shoe.
Well, that's true,
Roger
but also
Rabbit.
They can't... If they lose, their. I mean, it's this is... In any other context,
they'll
you would say
Raw.
The stipulation is that they'd win.
They could conceivably go to Raw. A lot of people...
But doesn't, I mean, aren't we all assuming that, like, someone's going to turn in this match?
That's
isn't that
what
that's
I was
been the conversation
say.
Up until last week?
On Twitter, I've been getting a lot of responses. Well, what if Daniel Bryan turns heel? What if Shane turns heel? Neither of those would make sense. Not to say that they won't happen. But if Shane McMahon turns heel, he's siding with people who beat the crap out of him multiple times and who have said...
But his dad did the same thing and he learned everything he knows from Vince.
I know, yeah. It would make a lot of sense for Shane McMahon to do something completely illogical a la the higher power angle. And then Daniel Bryan, same
Daniel
thing.
Bryan would be a good match with them and also it would allow him to be a constant presence but not working week in and week out.
But imagine... Having him come back and then 3 weeks later
turn heel.
That's awful booking.
Well, maybe he just sides with them and it's not a heel or a babyface thing and the crowd loves all three of them.
I don't think Owens...
Shane has been the heel on this angle from the get.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that.
I do feel like if Zayn and Owens win, then you're just going to get Daniel Bryan versus them on pay-per-views for a couple months. And I don't know. That doesn't seem... That like I want to see him versus those two individual guys, but not in these characters and not right now.
Yeah. All right. Back to the card. Do you think, general question, will the winner of either Battle Royal matter?
Nope. It never has. It never will. It's just a way to get people a payday.
I think the Corbin one mattered a little bit because he was someone with nothing that got something at the time.
Yeah, you can reverse engineer that. I mean, it mattered because it was Corbin, but they would. But that was they were pushing Corbin anyway.
He debuted that night.
But I'm saying, it was a definite stamp.
But I think that we can say that the men's battle royal has not ever particularly mattered.
Yeah, won last year, and I only remember that because
the women's battle royal, though, there's obviously the women's division is smaller.
Yeah,
and if Becky Lynch wins, then that will be her mechanism for challenging for the SmackDown women's title within a month, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, so it could theoretically matter more than the men's battle royal has mattered.
Yeah, the Andre guys who weren't brave enough to call out. Undertaker Battle Royal. And it's also, do you put both those on the pre-show? Because one of them has to be.
I think the women's match is likely to be on the main show just because it's a perfect sort of like palate cleanser match.
Yeah.
And I mean, last year they moved the SmackDown Women's title match to the main card and put the IC title match on the pre-show just so it didn't seem like they were disrespecting the women's division.
Do you think it would be possible for them to not do one of the two battle royals, but to insist that, like, to say, like, Becky Lynch won the women's battle royal on the pre-show? If they just say that over and over again... And we would eventually just believe it.
Because, no, don't worry, guys. You saw it. It happened.
Because I would, like, even if I turned on my TV at 3 p.m. or whatever time it's going to start and watched every second, if, like, 2 hours in, they were like, and we all know Becky Lynch won the Battle Royal in the pre-show, I'd just be like, hell, how did I miss that? And then go back and look for it. And if I couldn't find it, I would blame my computer. And I would always believe that it happened.
Where's that video? Yeah.
It could be, like, the original IC Championship. Okay, what else? We're not going to talk about the cruiserweight thing. I apologize.
Yeah, that's the pre-show. That's actually happening right now.
Exactly. Braun Strowman.
It's a five-star
Braun
classic.
Braun Strowman still doesn't have a partner. Are there any new rumors this week, Schilling?
Well, you just said Dean Ambrose, right?
Yeah.
That'd be weird because I think they feuded. Samoa Joe is possible.
Yeah, I say.
A lot of talk about that. Joe's working in the... Greatest Battle Royal, Greatest Royal Rumble show in Saudi Arabia. So he's coming back.
This is what you do. You take head from Al Snow days and you just put the head on top of the upright base.
I've already said it should be great. Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Like I said, you just take a mannequin head and you stick it.
I'm in.
Cruel.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I thought what they were going to do was announce it in advance. He beats down his own partner and then takes him out on his own. I mean, it is a weird thing because it's like, it kind of does have to be someone formidable, because if he does, I don't think the Raw tag titles is worth completely jobbing out for a guy who's already.
Yeah.
I don't know if you gain more from Braun than what you lose from having the bar get destroyed by him.
So sure, and this is a great opportunity for somebody to come in and, like, you know, have the bar take out Strowman, double team Strowman right before the bell or something, and have whoever the other guy is, be it Ellsworth or Elias or someone like that, and let them work underdog for a little bit, and then keep the match going long enough for Braun to come back. That's a good spot for somebody.
I'm gonna say it's Aleister Black. That's my pick. He's going to have a fantastic match the night before.
Sure.
And then he comes out in this.
It seems too soon for him to go up to the main roster.
It's never too soon. there's a lot of cool possibilities there. But it's weird that there's two TBDs, The Undertaker and Ron. Wouldn't that be great?
Dolph Ziggler dressed as the Colonel. Yeah.
What if Undertaker was his partner?
What if Undertaker is his partner? He comes out with the full entrance, and then the camera just slow pans to John Cena sitting in the second row.
Come on!
With his arms up in the air.
I was busy.
Braun asked first. That's the storyline.
Yep.
Already booked.
Charlotte Asuka. Charlotte, by the way, was hurt this week. Had some emergency oral surgery or something.
Yeah. I won't speculate on what that means.
I think she'll probably be fine. But I hope that doesn't affect the WrestleMania match, because this could be a real great one.
Yeah.
This has the potential to be another match of the night. If they get enough time, that's really what it's about. Is are they going to get at least 15 minutes to tell a story?
If they're
going to
do anything, I mean, this would be one that you would sneak some extra time in.
I think this might open. I think that they want that marquee, big, like, all right, we're watching a WrestleMania, and this will have all the pomp and everything.
And it's the first time you can really say, you can guarantee that you're going to have a great match from the women.
Mm-hmm. I say this or AJ Nakamura is going to be the opener.
All right,
and I think the next two matches won't be able to follow it.
Let's jump to that one. AJ Nakamura. Are expectations still sky
Asuka
high?
If we're picking,
we're not picking. Yeah, I don't think we're picking, right?
You can say you think she's
going
to win.
I'm going to be here because I'll not book next week, and also probably die. So I'll go Asuka.
I feel like the temperature is dropping a little bit on Nakamura Styles. Maybe that's because it's just been, we've known about it so much longer relatively than some of the other ones, and maybe it's because the storyline has progressed zero since Nakamura won the Royal Rumble.
Well, think about it. Think about this. Not only is this one of the most stacked WrestleMania cards in a long time, since maybe WrestleMania 19, but also you just had Daniel Bryan descend from the heavens and announce that he will be wrestling for the first time in 2 years. Like, that just sucks all of the energy out of SmackDown when you've got that. that's bigger than anything.
Look, so, I know we promised you frozen yogurt, but don't you like ice cream?
I know we promised you frozen yogurt, but how about gold bouillon? You can't eat it, but you can buy whatever the fuck you want with it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the AJ Nakamura thing, like I said, I mean, they're both, like, I think the first time I was on here, having Nakamura or even Asuka talk at all just ruins their mystique. It's fine that they can't speak great English. That's okay. Don't have them talk much.
Yeah.
And keep them strong in the ring where they shine. And then AJ's not good either. So all of these, like, I watched one yesterday where it's like these teasing, like they're almost like moonlighting, like will they, won't they promos.
Will they,
it's
won't, like, they beat each other up?
It's like, yeah, will you be in my corner? I don't know. I got to save myself. I guess I will. It's like there is no story there.
It's tricky to do two baby faces, especially when, like you said, they're not. Neither of them can carry the feud with talking, and AJ's been hurt.
Nakamura was a better talker last night. I think he's got a lot to prove on the wrestling side. I don't want to be too conspiratorial. I mean, too, like, arch about it, but...
I think the best way that he could have done this feud was the anything you can do, I can do better. So if one guy beat a tough opponent in, like, 15 minutes, then the next week he beats him in 10 or something.
Yeah.
It's like some stories are great because they're simple. They've tried to overcomplicate this.
Sure. I would also like to point out once again that on this podcast last year I said, guaranteed Shinsuke Nakamura will be wrestling for the WWE title at WrestleMania, and I was right. You're welcome.
I think he'll step up for this one.
I think that props to you, Schilling. I think that he's done a lot less in the last year than I would have expected him to.
I think he's going to lose.
I think he's going to win.
I think he's going to lose because, you know, some of these feuds are going to be like one-offs, and then some of them I think are going to be that similar every month for the next 3 months with a stipulation blow off feud. I think this is going to be one of those.
I think you're probably
there is also. Yeah. I think the fact that when you consider the card, there are a lot of titles changing hands already.
Yeah, and this is one where the match is going to be great enough that I don't think
you don't
it
need
matters.
It. You don't need the title changing hands.
But they need at least 20 minutes. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Guys, we actually got to get out of here.
That's okay.
We've been doing this for a long time. We didn't talk about Lesnar versus Reigns.
Yeah, yeah. No, we know what's happening. Yeah, we're good.
It is a match. Yeah, it's a match. It will be a match.
Thank you, Mike, so much for coming by.
Thanks. I mean, I literally said everything I wanted to about that match, so I'm all good.
There you go.
Good. Yeah. Chilling. Did you have anything you wanted to say that you didn't say?
Well, not about WrestleMania or WWE. I went to the New Japan show.
How was it?
It was great. The Omega and Ibushi versus the Young Bucks match was incredible. They outdid themselves. The show, the card itself was fine, but that match was enough for me to spend hundreds of dollars. You know, I don't care that maybe the undercard wasn't that great because the main event was so good.
Awesome.
And they're going to be in San Francisco in July to do another show. So I recommend
it. You were saying you were going to be in. I got to be in San Francisco at the Improv.
yeah. No, I'm not plugging. I'm only plugging New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Speaking of plugs, Mike, you have anything you want to plug?
I'm writing on this season of Crashing, so watch that when it comes out, and I'll have an album coming out in the fall and a podcast next month called With Great Popcorn on the All Things Comedy Network, so check all that stuff out.
Awesome. Nice. Everybody who's listening to this, thank you. This has been a very important episode. Episode of the Masked Man Show, the whole family should watch together.
Hey, the road to Masked Man is important.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to our heel producer, Jim. Apologies to Dean Ambrose. We'll see you back here next week, humanoids.
We are desperately out of time. The tape machines are rolling. We'll see you next week on the Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show today was brought to you by Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace for student loan refinancing. Using Credible.com's simple platform, it takes less than 2 minutes to find out if you're overpaying on your student loans. You could save thousands by refinancing. All you have to do is visit Credible.com/maskedman, answer a few questions, and right away, you'll get real rates, not ranges of rates, from multiple lenders. Checking your rates will not affect your credit score, so you really have nothing to lose. The average user who refinances through Credible.com saves almost $19,000 over the life of their loan. And for a limited time, my listeners will get a $200 welcome bonus when refinancing through Credible.com/maskedman. That's Credible.com/maskedman. And one more thing, we have very exciting news for all you Ringer heads out there. The Ringer has new merchandise with a shiny new storefront that you can check out right now. We have hats, hoodies, even an exclusive Shea Serrano disrespectful dunk t-shirt. Your friends will be low-key jealous when they see you strutting down the street with an official Ringer zip-up hoodie, previously available only to Ringer staffers like yours truly. We are letting you, our loyal listeners, get first dibs on the goods. Go to theringer.com/shop. to pre-order your merch right now. These are limited run items and will not last long. Once they're gone, they're gone. Again, check out theringer.com/shop to pre-order your official Ringer merchandise today. You can also find the link to the Ringer web store in the podcast description.